Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to Tell on the pod. It is a podcast about ghoulies, ghosties, and long-leggedy beasties told by two short leggies.
Wow. And that is what AI would tell you we were.
That's true.
If you boil it down to its core components, that's what we are.
I'm realizing that that phrase, ghoulies, ghosties, and long-leggedy beasties, is a prayer. It was like an Irish bedtime prayer.
Hang on a second. That's a real phrase, what you just said?
Yeah.
I thought you were just being cute.
I believe there's like an Irish prayer that I think my grandma gave me a like cross stitch thing on that said like, "Oh Lord, protect me from the ghoulies, ghosties, and long leggedy beasties."
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that sounds like something Truman Capote said.
Well, yeah. Wow, what a good setup.
All right, ghoulies, ghosties, and long leggedy beasties.
Yeah, what's the internet have to say? It just says Andrew's a liar.
Things that go bump in the night. Scottish prayer. That's traditional. It. From ghoulies, ghosties, and long leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night. Good Lord, deliver us.
My grandma gave me a thing with that on it. So I guess it was Scottish. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wow. Cool.
That was what we were really telling kids that for a long time. That you gotta pray to God to protect you from the wicked things that exist in the dark.
Bedtime was a time of you're on your own.
Yes. I think about this all. I used to kind of have this primal panic. And the only piece that would come to me is that like I knew that my dad was going to watch Quantum Leap before he went to bed.
Uh-huh.
And I could fall asleep. Like, as long as the Quantum Leap theme song was happening in the background, I'd be like, wow, Someone's keeping watch.
I had the Seinfeld slap bass.
Oh, that's really nice.
And sort of the Frasier.
The most peaceful
sounds. Was that a Glockenspiel?
Yeah.
Boom.
Do you know Frasier Core is it like an architectural movement that happened? Like it's how people describe a certain style from the late 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Yeah. Elevated kitsch and symbols of academia.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks and rocks.
Sucks and rocks. Much like all the best things, I think.
Yeah. Andrew, did anything spooky happen to you this week?
This week, did anything spooky happen to me? I've been having some very significant stress dreams.
Oh, boy.
And it was, you know, those type of dreams where you wake up and you're out of breath?
Yeah.
Like where it's like your heart is pounding and you really feel like you've worked out.
Oh, boy. That sounds terrible.
And the scary thing was I woke up from a dream of very exhausting, very exhausting nightmares. And I woke up just in time to have to go to the gym for a strength training session. And I was like, this isn't fair.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You should get out of it.
I'm filing. I'm filing for divorce from my subconscious.
You gotta.
Yeah.
Everyone is taking your side.
Get dump his ass.
Yeah.
Get
no one is there. Picking subconscious over you. Oh God. Yeah. Where you do something in a dream and then have to wake up and do it.
Awful.
That's crazy.
How about you, Anna?
I will say I had something happen this week that hasn't happened to me in a long time. I used to wake up in the middle of the night terrified of whatever the most recent scary movie was that I'd seen. And now I watch so much more of them than I used to. And yeah. I enjoy it. I feel like I crossed a threshold with it.
Mm-hmm.
And a few days ago, I woke up and I had to go to the bathroom terrified of Sinister, the movie that we watched.
Oh, we did watch Sinister.
Starring Ethan Hawke and Juliet Rylance.
Yeah.
And a bunch of kids.
And Vincent D'Onofrio on a Zoom.
On a Zoom.
A Zoom cameo.
Like he didn't leave his computer.
I know.
they were emailing him the offer and he's like, I'll do it now. That, I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Well, that was such a surprise. We do sometimes watch spooky movies on Sunday. We call it Spooky Sunday. We've talked about it before.
Yes.
And most of the time we watch pretty bad scary movies. And that one, it's not that I think it's the best movie, but I think it had some very troubling iconography.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, oh, you think it's going to be a kid is dead, and then that's what happens, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. A thing that helped it make it not so scary for me was the villain is a member of the band Slipknot. Like that, I was like, that's
no,
it just looks like it.
Oh, okay.
Boogool.
Yeah, they call him, the kids call him Mr. Boogie.
Yeah,
but he is a demon named Boogool.
Yeah, And it's he looks great. Like he's about to rage against the machine.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, like, I was not scared of the movie while we were watching it. There were some jump scares.
Yeah.
And then there was troubling imagery, but wasn't that scary? And woke up in the middle of the night regretting having watched it.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't, here's the thing. I really enjoy scary movies. I don't love a scary movie that makes me like, I feel worse after that. And yeah. I think there's like, I think it's a very inventive movie. I think really, really, there are very effective set pieces.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think sometimes the catharsis of watching a scary movie, it's not that it has to be happy in the end. It's that it kind of, you kind of have to feel like it all was for something.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And that one I was like, oh, well, okay.
It was like being told a story by a child. You're like, oh yeah. And then that happens and it's just, okay. All right. Bye.
Yeah. It was very much. It to me felt like, what's more fucked up than a snuff film? What if the movie were a bunch of snuff films, but Ethan Hawke is watching them? And I was like, okay.
And then it's like kids also. And you're like, oh.
The actor who plays Officer So-and-so.
Yes.
Who was in It and Tangerine.
I see.
I think he's good.
He's good. And there's a sequel where he's the lead of it.
That's true. Sinister 2.
Sinister 2.
Yeah.
More ghosts.
More ghosts. I do feel like there are horror movies that are straight and there are horror movies that are queer. And I do think Sinister is a straight horror movie.
Definitely.
Yeah. And sometimes you're surprised at what is a straight horror movie and what is a queer horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew, describe me right now.
Describe you?
Describe like what is happening by me.
Anna really is kind of a picture of calm and comfort. She has two blankets on, a cat at her shoulder, and two dogs upon her lap who mm-hmm. are facing in different directions, but who you have never been more comfortable than either of these dogs or this cat in your life.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you, Andrew, are sitting on a pink couch with no blanket. I don't know if there's a pillow on that couch.
It feels comfortable.
Oh, there is a pillow with Lady Bird's face on it.
I love that.
Okay, good.
You have that story, which I love so much, about Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, where yeah.
There was a pillow with Lady Bird's face in it, but then there was also like another fuzzy pillow.
There's a fuzzy, the back of it was fuzzy.
Right.
Had fake fur on it and it had fallen over. And I said, that pillow is my dog. And he looked like he had had his hand on the fake fur and then looked at his hand and kind of moved it away. I was like, oh no, not that part. Anyway, do you have any sketch comedy ideas?
I thought
maybe you could play a bog.
That is the same pillow that you're sitting on, Andrew.
I'm very against. Honored. Chadwick Boseman pointed at this pillow.
I made a man feel scared.
And that is the podcast.
Yeah, that's what we hope for.
Yeah, that's always the goal.
Andrew, with your Bigfoot Christmas socks on.
That's true.
It's your turn to tell a story.
Oh, it is.
Or it's not.
I think, well, I'll do it.
But
it,
we you know decided what? That you're going to.
Yeah, I think that's good because this Tuesday, there's going to be an eclipse in the United States. I believe the next one won't happen for another 20 years in the Dakotas exclusively.
Whoa.
But this one, there is a path of totality leading from Texas up to Buffalo, New York. And Chris and I are going, we're flying to Dallas, which is everyone's favorite city.
It's exciting.
Yeah. And we're going to meet some family there and we're going to be in the path of totality and see this eclipse. Chris is very excited. He's actually currently outside watching a space launch.
He is. It's so cute.
And yeah, the topic of this episode is the folklore surrounding eclipses.
Oh, that's great.
And I was, you know, the idea came from not just the fact that we're going to do this, but my physical therapist, I was meeting with him earlier this week and he was like, what are your plans for the weekend? I was like, my husband and I are going to Dallas to see the eclipse. And he was like, oh, like, why are you traveling to go do that? And I was trying to think of a way to describe why that Chris loves astronomical events. Mm-hmm. And what I said was, I was like, my husband and his family are really into space. And my physical therapist looked so concerned and said, what? Well, like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know, the cosmos and everything. He was like UFO people? And I was like, no, like a scientific based thing. And he was like, oh, okay. I don't know. The way you said that, it felt kind of like a cry for help.
And they have a certain church that's in their house. Yeah. And
and they all wear the same shoes.
Yeah.
But he was like, he said that eclipses always creep him out. And then yeah. Chris, we're going to watch the eclipse in a nature preserve. And Chris was like, the animals are all going to kind of freak out in the 4 minutes where it turns mm-hmm. to night. And the reason why made me laugh so much, it's not that they're like, what is going on? It's that they're like, I got to get home.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh my God, I'm yeah. out. It was just lunchtime. I got to get home. Like,
the normal ramp down to night didn't happen.
That
I was in Prospect laugh. Park for the 2017 one.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that really struck me was not just like bugs making night sounds like right, that. I found right. to your personal trainer's or your physical therapist's credit, it was a little spooky.
Yeah.
The thing that creeped me out the most was that it felt colder.
Oh, my God.
Like the outsides of my arms felt like it was being cold.
That is.
And
very
I was
spooky.
Like, this is crazy what we're all doing right now.
Ooh.
It felt like light as a feather, stiff as a board, but we were all doing it.
Well, that's like, I think the basic structure of this episode is just going to be, I'm going to go through different cultures, what they thought was happening during an eclipse.
Great.
Which I really love.
Oh, hell yeah.
And this comes from a website called exploratorium.edu. And it has a countdown to the eclipse on it, which I really love. 1 day, 16 hours, 41 minutes and 49 seconds.
Exciting.
And this article, which I cannot find a author for, is just called Eclipse Stories from Around the World.
That's great.
In Vietnam, legend has it that a giant frog swallows the sun. Its master, the Lord of Han, then convinces the frog to spit it out. That's nice.
This frog obeys authority.
Yeah. And that is what that's the ideal condition for a frog.
Wow, a frog swallows it.
I know, that's interesting. I guess because when frogs inflate their gullets, that maybe looks kind of like a sun. Or yeah. when they eat a lightning bug, potentially.
For example.
In Javanese mythology, the god of darkness, Batara Kaya, swallows the sun. Javanese villagers try to make Batara Kala release the sun by offering sacrifices and beating drums. There's going to be a lot of sacrifices and beating drums here. Whoa. Chris told me a thing, which I don't know what culture it's from, but that the belief was that during an eclipse, the king would die.
Yeah.
So they would make someone else king during the eclipse time. Then they would kill that temporary king.
What?
To protect their king, which I'm like,
that's a loophole. This guy knows who the king is.
Also, who's out there coming up with this? You know, this feels kind of like that neighborhood kid who's like, let's play a game where we're all element robots. And then you're like, okay, imagine that kid deciding whether your king lives or dies.
Oh, yeah, it's always that kid.
According to Choctaw legend, a mischievous black squirrel gnaws on the sun, resulting in an eclipse. I love that.
If there's one word to describe a squirrel, it's mischievous. If there's two words, mischievous nine. And gnaws.
Yep, yep. The verb.
I think that one is true so far.
In Andean mythology, a puma devours the sun. To prevent the sun's death, the puma must be frightened away by the screams of children and the cries of animals. Wow. It's great to get the kids involved to save the earth from darkness.
Kids and animals are usually on the same page. They're down there.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know what? I feel like in this situation, birds are really pulling their weight.
Screaming
birds.
A lot of screaming.
That would scare a puma.
Oh, for sure.
In the U.S. Northwest, the Pomo people's name for a solar eclipse is sun got bit by a bear.
So interesting.
Love that.
So much about animals.
Yeah.
Cool.
They tell a story about a bear who goes out for a stroll along the Milky Way. The bear meets up with the sun, and the two begin to argue about who will move out of the other's path. The argument turns into a fight, which is the eclipse. This is most of my social interactions with my other gay friends.
Can you do me a favor and read that one more time?
Sure. This solar eclipse, sun got bit by a bear.
Okay.
Tells a story about a bear who goes out for a stroll along the Milky Way. The bear meets up with the son.
Okay.
And the two begin to argue about who will move out of the other's path.
I see.
The argument turns into a fight, which is the eclipse.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That helped me when you said it again.
Yeah. And did it help that I put up two fingers for some reason?
Immensely. Thank you.
In ancient China, it was commonly held that a celestial dragon attacked and devoured the sun. To frighten away the dragon and save the sun, people would bang drums and make loud noises. This is an interesting recurring theme.
Wow.
I like that.
That is nice.
Yeah. It's kind of the support first responders of its day.
I was, the thing it made me think of was watching The Needle on election night, where I'm like, I have to look at it.
Right.
So it'll be good.
I believe we've talked in the past about how the night Trump got COVID, we were watching a very terrible movie called like The Vampire's Apprentice or something. Mm-hmm. Cirque du Freak, The Vampire's Assistant.
For sure.
That was what it was called. And then we all in our sick brains were like, on election night, we have to have it on in the background, which we did.
And yeah, so it famously helped.
We deserve credit. And now everything's great.
Now everything's great. Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy. Things are perfect. In Norse culture, the evil enchanter Loki is chained by the gods. Oh. He gets revenge by creating wolf-like giants, one of which swallows the sun. Another of the giant wolves chases the moon, trying to eat it. That feels like that a B plot for the eclipse.
Creates wolf creatures.
Yeah. While chained up.
I feel like if you can make a wolf creature, you can go do something else.
Get you a man who can do both.
Yeah.
Create a wolf creature to eat the sun and create a wolf creature that chases the moon.
That part.
From the Navajo perspective, eclipses are a time of renewal and a manifestation of the cyclical relationship between the sun, the moon, and the earth. The old traditional knowledge of the Navajo people recognizes that it is dangerous to look directly at the sun. Navajo elders strongly instruct their community to go inside the hogan, their traditional dwelling, during an eclipse to ensure people don't look up at the sun. Mm. Traditional Navajo people sit quietly and in reverence, a practice that is grounded on their deeply held respect for the cosmic order. Some people will choose to look at the eclipse using protective eclipse glasses, but that decision is up to each family or individual. That it's so funny in the midst of all of these like folklore things, like this is such a practical, like,
I know. Hey, I love when religious beliefs are also like, don't eat pig shit. Like, like, oh, that is a good way to get people not to.
I'm sure I can't back this up with hard knowledge, but I do remember hearing that a lot of the religious convictions to not eat pork stem from like a historical time when there was a massive worldwide trichinosis outbreak amongst pigs. So there was no safe way to eat pork and people would get sick and die.
It's just good advice.
In German mythology, the hot female sun and cold male moon are married. That is a funny sentence.
I love that kind of, that's a sort of a Darma and Greg.
It is a Darma and
Greg. I love
Greg.
When a woman is fun and a guy is like, I'm mean.
Yeah. The Germans believed that Jenna Elfman was the hot female sun.
Yeah.
The sun rules the day and the sleepy moon rules the night. Uh-oh. Dad's on night watch.
Dad's on night watch.
Seeking companionship, the moon is drawn to his bride and they come together to create a solar eclipse.
Oh, it's sex.
Oh, I'm surprised that not more of these have not been sun have sex with
it's moon. All like a frog ate the sun, a wolf ate the sun, a bear ate the sun.
Right.
The sun and the moon are fucking and they're married and they're mad. And they're
in Tahitian myth, the sun and moon are lovers who join up and the eclipse, but they get lost in the moment and create stars to light their return to normalcy.
Wow, that feels queer-coded.
That is very queer-coded.
Yeah, the one before was straight marriage, and this is
right. Queer. This is the sun and the moon are edging.
Yeah.
The Inuit tell of the sun goddess Melina, who is chased across the sky by her brother, the moon god Igaluk. Occasionally, he catches up with her for a brief reunion, and everything goes dark. Oh, so these are siblings.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't love the reunion word.
Right, right. The Maya of Mesoamerica observed and recorded eclipses in accordion-shaped bark paper books called codices. The Dresden Codex, named after the city that houses the original document, records eclipse prediction tables for both solar and lunar eclipses. The Maya were able to predict eclipse seasons, although the precise location where the eclipses would be visible was unknown. Today, Maya people bang pots and pans to make the sun and moon release their embrace. Also sexy, right?
Wow. Yeah. Hey, get out. It's like two dogs.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop.
No. We don't want this.
I'm going to shake a can of coins at the eclipse.
Ancient Greeks had a different spin on this celestial event. They believed that eclipses were a sign that the gods were angry with humans and that the sun would abandon the earth, bringing untold misery. The word eclipse actually comes from the Greek word meaning abandonment. That's crazy.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It figures that theme of like, no, anything happening is that whoever made all this is mad. it's the kid panicking about when the teacher comes back and the substitute teacher's going to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
According to the Aymara tradition, an eclipse means the sun is sick and near death. The Aymara people would light fires on hillsides to warm the earth for a brief period when the sun was out. I think that's kind of nice.
I think so too.
Letting the sun recover a bit.
It's caretaking.
That is caretaking. Ojibwa and Cree people have a story that a boy, or sometimes a dwarf, seeks revenge on the sun for burning him and catches it in a snare. Various animals try to release the sun from the trap, but only the lowly mouse can chew through the ropes and set the sun back on its path.
Oh, a little guy.
I love when mice save the day.
Oh, God. A mouse in a fable? Watch out. Here comes unexpected.
And finally, the Chippewa of North America shot flaming arrows toward the sky to rekindle the sun. The Bellakula people of Canada figured that the sun was just a little clumsy and occasionally dropped its torch. That is great. Let the planets and stars make mistakes.
You silly goose.
Yeah. That, I feel that. If I was the sun, I absolutely would drop the torch.
You dropped your torch, queen.
Anna, if we had no context for eclipses,
uh-huh,
what do you think you would think is happening?
That's so funny. Andrew, that's so funny. I love your mind. It's funny because when you said that, the first thing that flashed into my head was, it's my fault. I was bad.
Yep.
You got a similar?
I think my first thought, because I'm not great with time, is I'd be like, I'm an idiot. It's nighttime and I forgot the past 3 hours. I think that would be my assumption.
Jason, if you had no context, what would you think the eclipse was?
I would think that it was that the sun like went down a hole, like a cartoon style, like just sort of a hole. I think it was leaving.
That's nice.
That's probably what's happening.
Yeah.
Chris would be the apprentice. Well, do you want to say?
I think I would think that we were approaching a black hole because that's kind of what it looks like.
A hole, another hole.
A black hole, yeah.
The husbands assume hole.
Wow. Gosh, yeah. Darn. Hole. Okay, sweetie. Very sweet.
I guess to be like, it says so much, Anna, that both of us are like, it's our fault that this has happened.
Yeah, I did something wrong. I forgot to feed it. That's going away.
Oh my God, I forgot to feed the sun.
Or I am bad.
But that, I mean... So our individual reactions to that, I feel like we learn so much about cultures based on how they interpret like natural phenomena. And I love that there are recurring themes here of like, humanity can fix this through loud noises.
And then it's like some of these, it seems like with a flaming arrow, it seems like you need a little bit of preparation.
Yes.
Would people know that this was coming? Like, it doesn't seem like everybody knew, like the Mayans
had it. Amazing that the Maya knew. Like, that will always be incredible to me, that anyone knew how to do anything.
I'm like, they didn't have the internet. Well, how'd they know?
They didn't have baking soda, you know?
Yeah. Well, how could they make a volcano?
Yeah. How are they puffing up their cakes?
Yeah. I also, the thing that's crazy to me about eclipses is that, like, it's not like the phases of the moon where it's gradually an eclipse.
Right.
It's just one day. It's not like every few days, like the few days before and few days after, it's a little bit eclipsy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so short.
It is also very fitting to me that, so there was a little earthquake in New York yesterday.
Yes.
And I believe everyone's fave, Marjorie Taylor Greene, tweeted, like, these are all signs from God. It's not too late for us to repent. And that's someone who's been voted into office. So as smug as we can be about, like, how did they know anything? Like, what were all these explanations? There are still people who are like, well, this is clearly a sign of something.
She is so consistent. I almost respect it.
I try not to think about her as much as possible. But sometimes I think of her like a Windows 95 game you would play, like Ski Free or something. Like, I kind of think of her as like the Yeti in Ski Free, where it's like, this is what she does. That's the programming is very
this
simple.
This is what she does.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's comforting. She's a Yeti.
Yeah. She's a Yeti.
That's a sign from God of something.
Right. That's a religion I can get behind.
Oh, yeah.
Anna, thank you so much for letting me talk about eclipses today.
Andrew, thank you for talking about eclipses today. Do you think they're fed? Do you think they like it?
You're talking about the sun and the moon, right?
I was talking about our audience. Did that feel like an episode?
A spooky one?
Yeah.
I think so. Oh, maybe to top it, how about our favorite segment?
Scary ideas for things that could happen. Andrew, yes. I would like to go first.
Please.
You are climbing up a spiral staircase in an old, dusty house. Creak, creak, creak. And just like that, you got back together with Mr. Big.
that could happen. Because we thought he was dead.
He
slumped over on the Peloton, but no, he's up in the dusty attic.
He's in the damn shower. Hole on the drain.
I loved all of the paramedics out there who responded to that, being like, you had plenty of time to call. Like, he could have been saved.
Yeah, he was like asleep, and she was like, oh, he's dead. He was still pedaling. She was like, too bad. Like, put a sheet over him.
I love that.
God, I cried real tears on the
Did
couch.
You really?
On the couch that you're sitting on, but the couch is in New York.
Famous.
Where there is an earthquake and life is going to an end.
Wow.
Andrew, it's your turn.
Okay, it's my turn. You are in an Uber, but something is not right. You are facing the back windshield, and your hands are stuck to the glass.
Oh no.
You see a car behind you, and you see yourself in the reflection of the car, and you realize that you are, and always have been, a stuffed plushy Garfield with suction cups stuck to the back of a car.
That could happen. And I pray it doesn't.
The topicality of this podcast, the razor sharp spur of the moment.
We have an eclipse podcast coming out the day of the eclipse.
I think that's pretty good.
You are and have always been a stuffed plushy Garfield with suction cups.
Oh boy.
Andrew, that rocks.
Hey, and you know what else?
Get out.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh my God.
If I should stay. Okay. What kind of things do I say? Chop suey.
Yep, that you used to say.
Spoon rest. Yeah. Get away from my son.
This was the golden record that they sent out into space.
Aliens are like, we gotta meet these guys. They are amazing at singing.